the UBO Business Services Studios. You're listening to KTXX FM and HD1 BK, KTAE AM Elgin, K270CO Round Rock.
This hour brought to you by Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. At Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, believing is seeing. Proud sponsor of Texas Athletics.
Guests on the horn appear courtesy of the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina is located on Highway 360, just south of West Bank Drive. Chad and Kevin are brought to you by Coors Light.
Time is a flat circle. Everything we've ever done or will do, we're going to do over and over and over again.
Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it.
With the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports. The Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com.
Afternoon delight.
How about hour number two on a Thursday? Welcome to March. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling producing, getting you the great intros. A lot of stuff going on today. The combine has begun, technically. Workouts start in the morning. If you want to check out Connor Williams in the workouts, running the 40 and all that stuff, that's tomorrow morning on NFL Network. They have already done the bench press today. Connor got 26 reps up. The number of the day was Will Hernandez, the kid from UTEP. Looking good in mock drafts, and he's impressing so far. 37 reps for Will Hernandez. McGlinchey with 27, and Nelson with 35, the two Notre Dame offensive linemen. And Orlando Brown of Oklahoma with a 14 rep performance on the bench. That one will certainly be discussed all through the combine. We've also talked college basketball. You've got Tom Izzo continuing to double down and not saying he's not talking any basketball. And then Sean Miller sits down today and is defiant that nothing happened that was in the ESPN report. There's now an SI report out there that is calling into question some of the facts in the ESPN report. So there's a lot of those details flying around.
You guys have fun in the trees. I'm looking at the forest.
It is. There are a lot of banging heads on the trees today. And I guess it is a fair point to bring up that if Arizona believed that there was some major proof on Sean Miller, and they wouldn't have let him do it at the university today and all of that kind of stuff, he definitely seemed certain today. We will see if he is. We will see if he had the right to be that emphatic today.
Yeah, I mean, he may not be on the tape with Ayton. That doesn't. I mean, Sean Miller has been dirty for a long time now.
And then
he's not the only one.
Yeah, the question will be, exactly maybe what was that conversation about? And then this story comes out. How will the FBI react? What's going on with the investigation? A lot of stuff out there in college hoops. We'll continue to talk about that. Right now, though, let's go to the Vaqueros hotline and talk to Jeff Howe. We do it every Thursday. Jeff Howe, 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports. How are you there, Papa?
Doing well, guys. How are y'all today?
Good.
How's that sleep schedule?
Sleep has become a precious commodity at my house. But now my wife and baby are great. Everybody's doing fine, man. Could not be happier, man. It's been Chad, you were right, man. It's been an unbelievable experience, and I was just talking to Trey before it came on that it only gets better from here. So yeah, everything is going great at my house right now.
So talk about that experience. I mean, once she was on Earth, how did you change?
Well, you know, I'll give you the condensed version. My wife had to go completely under for, you know, the actual delivery part because there was an issue with the anesthetic and, you know, those kinds of things happen. So I actually was not able to be in the delivery room. I had to wait outside, but, you know, could hear her cry when she came out. And you know, you tell yourself, you prepare yourself for how you're going to react and what you're going to think and what you're going to feel and what it could be like. But, you know, they bring her out to you and the nurse puts your daughter in your arms for the first time. And there's no, I mean, words can't even describe just the wave of emotions and how overcome with everything you are. And I was, and you turn to mush and you just realize, yeah, you know, everything I thought it just completely goes out the window when she looks up at you for the first time. And then you're just done. It's over.
That's awesome.
No doubt about it. All right. Jeff Howe is, is rocking the paternity leave, but he's also, you know, he's still working. He's still got things going on. He's one of those guys that he keeps keeps working. And
Chad turned his phone off during it
and
doubled the time, Jeff.
That's right. Just yeah, we were just gone. It was done. So, Jeff, give me a thought on well, first of all, let's start with the combine, because I mentioned Connor Williams and the 26 reps. They're going to get started tomorrow with O-line and running back. Talk about Connor a little bit, and then also about Chris Warren and what you think he might be able to do at the combine that would impress.
Yeah, Connor Williams is interesting because I think now that the measurements are coming out, I think some people question the arm length. I think his arm length was 33 inches, which, you know, some people are like, well, is that NFL tackle arms? You know, I think the people that had him projected to go top five, maybe number one overall, you saw some of that stuff out there, you know, early in the draft process. I didn't think he was going to go that high, but I think this is setting up to be kind of where Connor Williams will be drafted, probably right around where I expected him to be taken, which is probably somewhere in that 10, 12 to 20 range, somewhere in there. And whether, you know, whether he's a right tackle, whether he's a guard, whether maybe he even kicks inside the center at some point, I don't know. But I just think the versatility and the tape, I think somebody's going to draft him and realize, hey, we've got a guy that could play double-digit years in the league with Connor Williams. So, you know, I think that for him, the combine is one of those deals where just don't screw it up. Don't have some kind of a test or anything. And I know measurements, you can't control that. But don't do anything to where you're really going to ding your stock. And I think the bench press, everything so far has just been solid, and that's really good for him. Chris Warren is just an intriguing guy because I think some NFL teams might see the same thing the Texas staff that recruited him and the last Texas staff he played for saw. When you watch the guy just go through a workout, you're blown away. Yep. At 6'2", 250 pounds, to be able to move and do the things he does. But with Chris Warren, it's the little things. It's durability, it's work ethic, it's managing his weight, it's all of the things that he was constantly dinged for. And you guys know this, it wasn't even behind-the-scenes stuff at Texas. Those things were talked about in the open. Can he stay healthy? Is he doing what he needs to do to be a contributor? Can he manage his weight? Is he tough enough? Those are the questions he's going to have to ask. So I think for Chris Warren, I wouldn't be surprised if he's got some buzz coming out of the combine. But for him, it's all going to be about, does he get into a camp and does he show the kind of toughness that he needs to show on a consistent basis and the kind of durability he needs to show for somebody to say, hey, maybe we take this guy, put him on the practice squad for a year, and then maybe a year or two from now, maybe he can be on our active roster.
What does Malik Jefferson need to do?
You know, Kevin, everything I've heard on Malik, and this is going back to the time he declared for the draft, his, and not to tie it all into one test, but it sounds like his is really going to come down to what that 40-yard dash time is. You know, if it's a really high time, if it's, you know, kind of low 4.5s, maybe even does he pop off a high 4.4, maybe that gets him into that late second, early third round range. If it's a pretty average 40 time, you know, some of the buzz on him is that maybe he's a late third, maybe even early fourth round type guy. So I think for Malik, and again, you don't want to put it all into one test, but everything I've heard is that all the scouts are really going to be looking to see what that 40 time is, because they think like they feel like the interviews are going to go well. I think all the other tests are going to show well. But that 40-yard dash time for Malik Jefferson, that could depend on if he's drafted around higher or around later than where he's expected to go.
And, again, Malik, D-line and linebackers will go Sunday as far as the 40, if you want to check that out on NFL Network and all over the place. Jeff, in terms of, I guess, so who's left?
Puna.
Puna Ford, who won't be at the combine.
Or the Aussie.
I was thinking about this today.
Who can speak English, so he's going to blow that away.
He can, yeah, that's true. That's a good point. But I was thinking of Puna Ford today. I always tell single people on Valentine's Day to enjoy it. Can Puna Ford just sit back and maybe find a way to enjoy this, get ready for workouts, get ready for pro day? What does he have? Because, I mean, he doesn't have to go through all this mess, but he gets to go to pro day. Talk about kind of where his perspective could be right now.
Yeah, I think Puna Ford, if you're a guy that doesn't, and I, you know, you talk to guys that have been through the draft process, basically, if you're not invited to the combine, you're pretty much putting all of your stock into your pro day workout. So I don't even know if Puna Ford's thinking about the combine. I'm sure he is, and he would have liked to have gotten an invite. But all of his preparation is going straight to that pro day and what he's going to do when that comes up, I think sometime later this month. But, you know, as far as Puna Ford's draft stock goes, guys, I don't know. You know, I think he's kind of where he is, and I don't know if the combine would have would have helped him or hurt him that much. I think he's a day three guy. And I think for Puna, based, you know, the tape shows what it shows. I think he acquitted himself well, both in the East-West Shrine game and the Senior Bowl, showing some things that the scouts wanted to see just in terms of, okay, can he play some different shades? What does the pass rush technique look like? And does he have a repertoire of more than just maybe a bull rush? I think it's going to come down to him being in the – it's going to come down to a team with the right defensive system that sees a specific need for his skill set that can work at the next level. And when you look at Puna Ford, look at Puna Ford's measurables and look at Aaron Donald's measurables, and they're almost the same guy. The difference is you pop in the tape and Aaron Donald had a first-round skill set for a reason and is an all-pro for a reason. Puna Ford doesn't have that kind of skill set, but he does certain things that based on what you do defensively at the next level, you can look at him and say, okay, that guy can be in our rotation right now and he can play for us right out of the gate. It's going to be just the right type of fit that gets Puna Ford drafted. But I think he's still going to be taken somewhere at some point on day three.
Jeff, as a pro doing this and also as a fan, put your fan hat on. I know Dallas fans were upset they heard that Marinelli is, you know, really does not like the type of one technique that they think Vita Vea is. That may be out the window. You need some defensive line help. You could go right wide receiver. There are some different avenues. Do you trade up or do you try and stay at 19? Obviously, it all depends on how it goes and take the best player.
You know, here's what's real interesting about the Cowboys draft, Kevin. I was reading some stuff and hearing some stuff out of Dallas the last few days. You know, that game they won the last week of the season with the Eagles, which would have determined whether they finished 9-7 or 8-8. You know, that cost them basically if they wanted – they're drafting 19th, and I think had they lost that game, I think they'd be drafting, I think, 15th to move back up. It would basically cost them their trading away their third-round pick to move back up to where they would have been drafting had they lost that game. So not only was it winning a meaningless game, but it really cost you. And when you look at that point, you say, okay, what difference does four spots make in the draft? Well, when you start running down the names of the guys the Cowboys really like, whether it's Roquan Smith or Calvin Ridley or any of those guys could all be gone by the time you get there to 19.
It's huge.
So, if I'm the Cowboys, I say just sit at 19. You know, they got in a habit a few years ago of let's trade away a third round pick and let's go up and get DeMarcus Lawrence. Now that pick has paid off, but that meant you had a couple of years there where you didn't have a third round pick. And this is a team that doesn't have a great recent history of drafting in the second and third round. So if I'm the Cowboys, just stay put at 19. Take the best player available, whether that's Marcus Davenport or whoever. If you like one of the wide receivers, you think Christian Kirk could go there or whatever, just stay at 19, take the best player available, and just keep your picks and keep reloading this roster.
Talking with Jeff Howe, 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports, at Jeff Howe 247 on Twitter. Jeff, on the recruiting front, tell us about this second recruit in the 2019 class, and please tell me his name is actually pronounced Tavondre Sweat.
Tavondre Sweat is a nice-looking defensive line prospect out of Huntsville. Now, I'll tell you what's interesting about Tavondre Sweat. There are some high school, and I love my high school coaches out there, but there are some high school coaches I trust on player talent evaluations more than other. Rodney Southern at Huntsville is a guy that I trust. He was a defensive coordinator at Coppers Cove under Jack Welch, was a head coach at Belton, and I trust him on evals. And you know, you look at the guys he's had. He had Vontez Duff and Charles Tillman at Coppers Cove. He had David Ash and Dermot Smythe at Belton. He said Tavondre Sweat, in terms of natural ability, could be the best guy he's ever coached. He said the kid just – and this was last spring we were talking about him. He said this kid won't even scratch the surface until he gets into college programming and can get in the strength conditioning program, the nutrition program, and they really put some weight on him. So you're talking about a guy – that's going to come in and be able to bring a lot of versatility to that front. And you look at what Texas wants to do. You know, we talk about the three-man front, but just I think defenses in college football are going to where how much versatility with your personnel you have available can you have? And I think when you look at the guys Texas brought in the 2018 class, whether you're talking about Mike Williams or Daniel Carson, now you look at Tavondre Sweat, Amoro Jomo fits this mold too. Just guys that can play different shades and guys that aren't pigeonholed into playing one role. You know, you've got to have a guy if you're running the offense. You got to have that big nose tackle like Keandre Coburn. But filling out the rest of the line, do you have guys that one snap he could be a three technique, then he can slide outside and play a five technique, then maybe you can move him back closer to the ball. I think that's what Texas is starting to get. And when you look at the guys that they're starting to develop now, you look at that spring roster and you see Taquan Graham at 285, 290 pounds. Now you're getting an idea of exactly the kind of defensive lineman that Texas wants and Texas really needs to have this defensive front, have the kind of versatility and flexibility Todd Orlando really needs to unleash his blitz packages and make this thing work and take it to another level.
I believe the coaching staff said they're really going to focus on this class and get some more defensive linemen. Who else is out there and who is Texas looking at?
Yeah, Kevin, there's a big prize out there defensive line-wise is the Marvin Leal from Converse Judson. I think he might be the top guy in the state. You know, he's another one that, you know, what I like to do when I go to a high school game, I don't like to take a roster with me if it's two teams that I'm not really familiar with. I just like to go eyeball kids, and if it's a kid that I say, wow, who the heck is that? And then the name matches up, okay, you know you're onto something. DeMarvin Leal was a kid that when I went and watched the Judson game 2 years ago, I was like, who the heck is that? Is that a rising senior that we missed? And you find out the kid's a sophomore at, you know, 6'4", 260 at that point, being able to move the way he does. He's another guy that you're talking about, a guy that can bring some versatility to the table, could play over the ball, play some one technique, play some three technique, and really bring a lot of versatility up front. I do think the staff was able to, with the way they were able to fill up defensive line-wise at the end of the 18 class, I don't know if defensive line is as much of a need as it was, but to get Tavondre Sweat already, you're chasing DeMarvin Leal. I think maybe if that number's three or four really good defensive linemen, then I think they could feel really good about it. Where I think the focus is, Kevin, in terms of the high-end guys, I think it's the offensive line guys, because you saw them take guys. You take a guy like Christian Jones, who's got nice projectables, is a guy you can maybe stash away and develop for a few years. Now you go to this 2019 class, you look at a kid like Tyler Johnson at Conroe Oak Ridge, who's the number two, the highest-rated uncommitted prospect in the state, who's really high on Texas. That, I think, is where the staff is really looking to clean up. So it's looking – yes, you're looking at some high-end defensive line, but I think this is where Texas could now really get it, and especially in-state, could get some high-end offensive line prospects. And you know, there's really only two ways to get your offensive line better. Either you hit on those high-end guys, or you find you know some Connor Williams type guys and you catch lightning in a bottle and you end up with a guy that wasn't as highly recruited as some others but ends up being a really good player for you. So Texas does have some guys they're developing, but guys like Tyler Johnson on the offensive line, those are the guys they're going to go after in terms of the high-end guys and try to get them in the program.
Jeff Howe, 24/7 Sports, at Jeff Howe, 247. Also check out CBS Sports for a lot of great stuff as we get ready for the combine. Jeff, I don't think we asked you about Holton Hill earlier. Any thoughts on him? They don't work out until Monday, but any thoughts on Holton?
It's all about the interviews. And you know, I remember talking to Jordan Hicks after his combine, and you know, he had the deal down in San Antonio at the Alamo Bowl where he got sent home. And you know, he said, hey, the interview process at the combine was a pretty uncomfortable experience for him. But, you know, he ended up going in the second round, and obviously Jordan had a better resume, especially coming off the last year he had. But I think that's what it's going to be for Holton Hill. I think there are maturity concerns with him, and there are some issues that kept popping up at Texas that kind of plagued him a little bit. And is he over those issues? Can he grow from that? What type of guy is he? I think the on-field stuff, honestly, I think the workout stuff is going to take care of itself, because, you know, you even look at Mike Mayock in his teleconference, he's saying the same things that, you know, Charlie Strong said when he recruited him and Todd Orlando said when you got him. When you look at where the game is going and you look at modern-day press corners to be 6'2", 200 pounds, and to be as long and as athletic as he is with a nose for the ball, that's the way you draw it up. So I think if the interviews check out and if he proves to these teams that he's got the maturity about him and the issues that plagued him at Texas won't be an issue in the NFL – then I think you're looking at Holton Hill. You know, it had, before the suspension, I'd heard buzz that he might be getting himself into the back end of the second round, early third round. I think right now he's probably more of a fourth or fifth round guy. Does he play himself up a round higher, or does he kind of stay in that fourth or fifth round mix? I think if he stays in that fourth or fifth round mix, it'll be because the interviews, I don't think maybe he didn't help himself, but maybe he didn't do anything to hurt himself either.
Interesting.
Do you have one more?
No, I'm good.
Oh. Jeff Howe, 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports. Jeff, we appreciate it as always.
Actually, we can ask him one more. Just ask him about basketball.
Okay.
Your thoughts on the way out? Does Texas get into the NCAA?
I don't see it, guys. I don't see it, because you start looking at the resume, and I figured 8-10 in conference would need to get it done. I don't think they beat West Virginia. They're not going to have a healthy Mo Bamba. You know, from everything I've heard with the toe injury, I don't think it's going to get any worse than it is, but it's pretty rough anytime you're talking about a guy with a toe injury in terms of explosiveness and the ability to push off and things like that and run. I really don't think they get in. I think when you start looking back at it, I think the road loss to Oklahoma State, the home loss to K-State, the chance to get a signature road win against Texas Tech that slipped through their fingers. I think we're going to look back on this season and see there were two or three games where maybe they could have won, that could have made the difference. But, yeah, I don't see them winning in against West Virginia on Saturday. And if they lose that game, I think they're pretty much done for, barring some kind of deep run into the Big 12 tournament where maybe you make it at the championship game and knock off a Kansas or something like that along the way.
One more. We had a text come in, so we're trying to take care of this. The amount of offers going to out-of-state football, is that more of a timing deal or a downtick in talent for Texas for the next recruiting cycle?
No, I think it just depends. I think Texas is just trying to cast the net a little bit. You look at where some of the staff went. Stan Drayton spent some time in South Florida and specifically at St. Thomas Aquinas. And St. Thomas Aquinas is the kind of program where, I think Texas can go get him a kid or two. You know, it's not like that program just feeds into a Miami or a Florida State. You've seen Ohio State and other schools go out kind of going to be able to get them kids from St. Thomas Aquinas. So I think that's part of it. And I think, look, depending on what's available in-state, I think this staff is going to go out-of-state if it's a guy that they really, really like. But I think you're starting to now see patterns of where they're going to go. I think they're going to try to go into South Florida. I think Georgia's an area where they want to get into. They've got roots in the Midwest with Stan Drayton and his time at Ohio State. And then I think Southern California and Arizona, which is two areas that for a long time I've been harping on the Texas staff, going back to Mack Brown's time. There, Texas has a pulse in Southern California and in Arizona, and there's really good football talent to be had in that part of the country. So I think you'll see Texas really make use of that part of the country. And, anytime you talk to Southern California kids, Kevin, they always talk about Texas. And I don't know if that's the Rose Bowl thing or whatever that resonates, but for whatever reason, Texas is a popular school in Southern California, so that's a part of the country. You know, they got Cameron Rising this last year where you can go in and maybe get you one or two kids per cycle.
It's because all their family has moved down here to Austin.
that could be part of it too, yeah.
That's Jeff Howe. Jeff, enjoy that new baby, man. Try to get some sleep if you can.
Yeah, anytime, fellas.
Congrats, Jeff.
Jeff Howe, 24/7 Sports,
man.
CBS Sports.
He's going to be a good dad, too.
Yeah, at Jeff Howe, 247.
I didn't know about y'all.
Some good sports there. Good
y'all have been
there. Yeah, you weren't quite sure at the beginning.
Y'all have been great dads. I've been pleasantly surprised.
That's fair. I've met me.
Right.
I mean, I know your concerns.
I just didn't
with me.
Know. I was curious to see with both y'all what it would look like. Jeff, I'm pretty sure it's going to work out.
Trey's a little different. Trey's one that I thought would be. He seemed like he would be a good dad.
By the time Trey had kids,
yeah. I mean, it seemed like everything was
Trey at 20. I wouldn't
had
throw that
would have
out
been
there.
A great dad at 23. Well, take babies down to Dirty Sixth, right?
And the thing is, you probably were.
Would you have been Brad Kellner? If you'd had kids,
don't tell Viv and Cal that.
If you'd had kids at 23, would you have been Brad Kellner basically with kids? Without,
well, yeah.
Yeah. Down on six making plays?
Well, I wasn't really making plays. I was just going and getting drunk.
Okay. Fair enough.
On gin and tonic.
Fair enough. All right. Coming up, we will get you the big three. Kevin's got a one and done as well. In that big three, did you hear about tackle football being outlawed somewhere?
No. Uh-oh.
We'll get to that one on the horn.
I close my eyes like I don't know. I count the hours till the sun's burning gold. I fill your bed.
Chad and Kevin with you on a Thursday. Hope you're having a good one. March has begun. What do you got, Trey? I think
about this is ZZ Ward and Fitz from Fitz and the Tantrums. We've got a new acoustic single out called Domino.
There you go. Like that voice. Very nice. Also on the musical side of things today, the great Harry Belafonte is 91 years old today. Roger Daltrey of The Who is 74. And on the younger side of things, Kesha is 31. And Justin Bieber is 24 years old today. That dude has packed a lot into 24 years. So God love you, Justin Bieber, wherever the heck you are today, making everybody's lives either better or crazy.
Both, right?
Yeah, both. Lots of both. Lots of both. That's a concert I don't know that I would go to, but part of me would love to see it. If somebody would pay for me to go, I might just to be a fly on the wall and watch whatever that is.
Really?
Whatever he is, I would love to just see it. Like, what does it look like? What does his concert look like? How does he?
You would do with the traffic and the screaming.
How does he perform and all that?
And all that.
I mean, the screaming would be part of it. Yeah, just like when I went to see Taylor Swift. I'm asking for the screaming. I'm asking to hear the screams. Okay. So, yeah, that would be a part of it. But it would be down on the list.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be going to that one.
I've heard a song or two that I'm okay with Justin, but I'm not a fan. So I would not quite be in that group. He is 24 today. Some other stuff coming up in the next crap bag. Got a couple of old schools for Kevin today. Also in the next crap bag, I want to talk some college basketball because I heard a phrase the other day that made me laugh, and I want to see if I'm crazy and get Kevin's thoughts on that.
Hey, did Daylon Mack enter the draft? Or is it Daylon?
Daylon Mack from A&M?
Yeah. I stopped pronouncing Daylon and just started calling him Dylan or Daylon once he sucked, once we realized he was a bust.
I do not know. I do not know. This would have been his, was this his junior year? God, I got lost.
Yeah, it would have been, this would have been his junior year.
I got lost once it, like you said, once we kind of figured out what it was going
to
be.
And we're going to hear media back him up.
I mean, why not? I mean, you know, what else did you have to lose?
yeah, that's...
Did you see James Harden's dunk?
Whole other discussion. I haven't...
I'm sorry, Jared Allen's dunk or James Harden's crossover push-off?
Man, that was a bold...
People were writing articles about that. How have the media just turned into complete fanboys with basketball?
Yeah.
I disrespect the basketball media more than anyone, and it's not even close. They're fanboys.
The Harden thing was pretty cool, right? I mean,
it's all right. I don't need to see an article about it. I mean, it was a push off.
Yeah. I just never seen
with his right arm. You saw that, right?
I've never seen anybody get stared down that long. That was cruelty, is what it was.
I mean, no, it's everything. It was 2018 basketball, is what it was.
NBA meanness. There's no reason to do that. The players are being so mean to each other nowadays.
They're just douchebags.
I mean, a forearm to the chest is different, right? If you're old days and you're fouling people, that's different.
Devontae Lumpkins in the draft. Did he go?
Devontae Lampkin, you mean?
Yeah, Lampkin. He said Lumpkin, obviously, kidding around. That's
really?
I was laughing.
Oh, Lumpkin, I get it. Okay, sorry, I wasn't following there.
No, I had a chance to read it for 2 seconds and didn't get it, so.
All right, let's get you a little big three here.
Let's do it.
Including this crazy story in Illinois, or maybe it's not.
The Big Three.
Brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Dan Slaughter. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com. When Kevin and I were growing up watching football, and many of you may know this name, the name Dave Duerson meant something.
Mm-hmm.
He was on that Bears championship team in 85. He was a hard-hitting safety.
He was.
And now his name has been connected to something called House Bill 4341 in Illinois.
Old school.
Dave Duerson. Hang on. Dave Duerson. I want to say Northwestern, but that's a geographic thing.
You are very, very close on a lot of things there.
Man.
Academics, very well thought of.
Same area?
Started with the same letter. Kevin probably would have known about him early on. He's a Domer, baby.
I forgot he was a Domer. All right, I was close. The Dave Duerson Act would prohibit any child under 12 from participating in organized tackle football in the state of Illinois. They would become the first state to ban organized tackle football at the youth level. There are a couple other states looking into this, but the vote passed today.
I don't think you should ban it.
This was a smaller vote, and this now goes to the House for full debate and vote. Their mental health committee voted on it.
If parents are okay with kids playing and the kids want to play, then that should be the decision, right?
In theory, yes, but I don't mind ideas like this. We're talking about 12 years old here. I mean,
I was playing in a tackle football with pads at 8 or 9, I guess.
Yeah, to me, that's too young. I mean, there's information out there. Some have different numbers
in
their head.
But I'm saying, is that up to the government to decide that?
Well, the issue would be...
Isn't that up to the parents to decide? And I get that. Well, is it up to the parents if they just want to let them get drunk? I mean, can they do that? All right, we can go down that slippery slope.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. And you know, should it be a national government thing? That's one question. Or should you...
This is state,
should
right?
Should you let it be state to state? Illinois... Mm-hmm.
Being a libertarian, most of the time I will say go state, right? Let the states make up their mind, and if you want to be ridiculously left or ridiculously right, well, I may not have to live there.
Illinois,
I don't have to live there.
That's true. Illinois is one of four states. New York, California, and Maryland are the others that are introducing legislation regarding or regulating tackle football. California is the one that jumped out to me because we know there's obviously a lot of football development and talent and all kinds of stuff in California. So I'm interested to see where this goes. I get I can understand.
The state of Illinois hadn't played college or pro football in years.
Yes. Now, that's fair. So they may not know a lot about football, so that could be a part of the discussion here. I see both sides of the argument, and the question would be, it's like you said, if we want to have some scientific research and say, okay, this doctor says they shouldn't play till they're 13. This doctor says maybe it should be 18. This doctor says this about brain development. But then your point at the end of that is, right, but then the parent and the kid should be able to decide their for their individual situation. So I see both sides of it, but that is going to go to a vote, and I'm sure it will be talked about a lot from now until the time. And Dave Duerson's family, by the way, did lend their name to this. They wanted Dave's name to be a part of it,
okay.
And his son spoke to the group before they voted. And, of course, if you don't remember the story, Dave Duerson killed himself in 2011. His son talked about everything that Dave went through, kind of later in his life. So those that are real concerned about concussions and CTE, their argument would be, look, if you're not playing until a certain point, then maybe that could help out down the line.
I understand. I'm just also, I don't want to be told that many more things what I can't do.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Like, I mean, you do understand with me not having kids. Like, when I told Bob Dunn, he didn't believe me when I told him. I said, no, kids have to, like, Monkey technically or legally has to sit in the back seat because of her weight. He's like, she's 9.
Right.
Like, just thinking about it, to me, that's just ridiculous.
Gotcha.
I think if a family is out at a restaurant and they've got a kid who's 16 and they think it's okay for him to have a glass of wine, he should be able to have a glass of wine if the parents say it's okay. Used to be that way in Texas.
So keep your eye on that story. Also, we talked about Sean Miller, an absolute denial of everything going on, the paid players and the DeAndre Ayton situation. And now there may be some information out there that some of those details in the ESPN story might have been off a little bit in terms of Ayton and Sean Miller specifically.
Totally clear, Sean Miller!
I retweeted that story. I have not had a chance to read through all of it. So check out the SI story at CHastings1049. I retweeted that one earlier.
So I'm kind of curious, and we can make this the one and done if you want, because I got nothing, I'll be honest. So go ahead and go to one and done.
All right, let's do it. One and done time here on a Thursday.
Peter liked to be
don't force one things, kiddos, if you don't have
with
it.
Me.
Done.
Unless you have to.
All right, one and done brought to you by Texas Card House. It's Austin's premier poker club. Tournaments and cash games 7 days a week, even charity tournaments every Friday night. Check them out in person or at texascardhouse.com. Here's Kevin Dunn.
All right, so we all love Brad Kellner, right?
Yes.
Well, you needed to be more emphatic than that. He's probably listening.
I love Brad.
He's napping probably right now.
I love Brad.
Yeah, we all love Brad.
I listened to 45 seconds of a tape of him back in the day, and
that's
I
true
knew he was going to be great.
That's true.
Yeah.
You said he was.
And I was right.
Right, 0.05 of me is what you said, right?
Well, I believe I said a speck of, no, I don't know.
You said 2.0, that's, but you got that mixed up.
I believe I said a bucket of sand on the beach of talent that is Kevin Dunn.
That's not true at all. Love Brad, though, and obviously if you've not listened to Trey and BK, 10-1 now. Really good show. They have some good guests.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also fun to hear them go back and forth. Brad's at that age, though, that Brad didn't know good college basketball. But he is willing to admit that, right, Trey?
He never saw it. He is willing to admit, yes, that wasn't an era that I grew up on. So this is all that I know. This product that is currently going on right now is what I know. And I love this version. So he is, I'm not going to say he's perfectly fine with things. He sees the need for the one-and-done rule to be adjusted to keep more guys in school longer for the good of that level of play and also for the system. But he's not as adamant as the three of us are in terms of something serious needing to happen. Otherwise, this sport is going to continue to go down the road that it is right now, and that's one that's not very watchable on a night-in, night-out basis.
He doesn't see the high level at high-level teams with the number of air balls or bouncing it off your foot or just really, really bad basketball stupid stuff that doesn't understand the AAU issue and that there's a skill set problem in a mid-range game and that it's much bigger than just one and done.
I said something to him the other day about the NIT moving the three-point line back, and I said, you know, I guess the common thought is that it's hopefully going to encourage more of a mid-range game, but the likelihood is that it's just going to turn more guys into college-age Steph Currys that don't have near the shot. And he said, actually, the college mid-range game is not that bad right now. Hmm. He said the NBA has an issue with the mid-range game, but college, it's still there.
He's watching a lot more than I am. I'm watching enough, though, that I'm not seeing it.
I watch mostly Big 12 basketball. I'll tune into the occasional game outside, like a top 10 matchup or something like that. I'll have to admit that I don't see as much of a mid-range game as you would hope to at this level by teams that are well-coached offensively. It does exist to certain degrees with teams like Wichita State. I mean, well-coached offensive teams.
That's a good
motion offense. Sure, you still get the mid-range game.
We should have gotten Marshall.
Marshall, I'm still disappointed by that because he seems like one of the few guys. He's like a Bob Knight, and that he's not willing to play that game to that level.
Even though that their name was on it, that doesn't mean that necessarily he was. He's not one of those that I think is definitely guilty.
In the game of basketball, also, look, I don't want to diminish the importance of defense, but good offense beats good defense a majority of the time.
It should. The only sport it does.
Especially on a level like this where you have so many guys just cycling through the system after a year or two. If you have a good offensive system in place and you're also able to diagnose the high school kids who will fit well in that system, you can take a program a long ways, even at a mid-major like Wichita State.
Yeah, I guess I'm just curious to get Brad's to get his take on it at that age, because we are all pretty much on the same page and have been for a long time that this is, you know, I mean, Paul texted me a couple of days ago and said, you know, we don't talk any college basketball. He said, it's impossible to watch. Impossible to watch? I mean, people that are being honest about it know it's hard to watch. And I think you can get so caught up in it because you're just a big fan of it. Like some of the fanboys I'm talking about that work in the media that every night in the NBA, look at the dunk, look at the... Well, can we talk about the game and not just that?
Look, call me a bad fan if you want. If it wasn't my job to watch Texas basketball right now, I would not be watching this team anymore this year.
If it wasn't my job, I wouldn't have been watching college basketball the last 15 years.
There's a point to that as well.
It was dead in 98 to me.
So last night, I tuned in Villanova Seton Hall. Villanova, number four team in the country, at Seton Hall, who had a winning record, still does, in conference. They've won 20 games on the season. Halftime score was 24-18.
There's nothing wrong, though, Chad.
Villanova.
We're okay.
And Kevin, with about 7.5 minutes to go, it was 39-38. Now, they got it to 69-68 by the end, and it was close, so you had the drama there, but wow. And I understand defense is being played at times and all that.
No, get the hell out of here.
But when you watch it, you understand that there's a lot that's not happening right now.
It trickles down, and when you lose 70, anywhere from 50 to 70 of the top guys over a three-year span, it's going to trickle down. But it's not just that. The whole sport is corroded from the very beginning, and I've been saying that. I'm one of the people I've heard on air putting all those things together for a long time. It's not just the fact that it's the one or two and done. It's how these kids are running the show and not being coached hard enough at an AAU level and not developing some skill sets that you definitely need.
We'll continue to talk about that. You just made me think of something else. We'll throw that in a crap bag or something later. Some good comments or an interesting idea I heard about what may need to happen developmental-wise. We'll get to some more of that. Alex Dunlap, speaking of development, they're trying to develop and take the next step to the NFL at the Combine. Alex is there in Indianapolis. We'll talk to him coming up at 5:05. Up next is the Midday Hangover with Mr. Trey Elling here on The Horn.
Horn's text line is brought to you by Specs. Specs wine, spirits, and finer foods. You're on the way. Less to pay. Everyday store. Cheers to savings.
It is midday hangover time, brought to you by U.S. Cryotherapy Austin. Chase and the crew over at U.S. Cryotherapy Austin. Getting it done now. Things are starting to warm up. What better time to walk in to that cooler that is below negative 100 degrees for just a couple of minutes and to receive all the benefits from that. It is energy boosting, sleep enhancing, helps with recovery, helps with pain management, helps with overall mood. U.S. Cryotherapy Austin. I am a big time believer in these guys. You should be too. Go check them out. 31st North Lamar, they're in the Turquoise building. And Kevin is somebody who has had the chance to go over there now, and he understands what it is that I'm talking about too. So U.S. Cryotherapy Austin sponsoring the Midday Hangover today.
When do I get to jump into this ice box? When does that get to happen?
Let me know.
I thought he was doing a spot. I've been sitting here the whole time eating pretzels and texting people. I don't even know where we're on.
Dude, I'm so sorry. I was out talking to Amanda in our office.
You were out talking?
I was trying to. I know.
I don't buy that.
Hard to believe.
I thought it was a moment of silence for Chad.
I was out there. Talking to somebody. I'm so sorry.
You let me know when you want to head over there, and I'll make sure to set it up. I typically go on at least Wednesdays, then either a Monday or a Friday. So if you want to try, now next Wednesday is not going to work because Brad and I are over at spring training next week. But if you want to go the Wednesday after that, we'll set it up.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Maybe you could just go with me because Chase and I are texting now.
Oh, really?
Nice. Yeah.
What did I tell you?
Yeah.
Chase is sincere when he says, yeah, text me.
He actually texted me. I think he heard it.
Oh,
and
did he?
He was like, come on, man, it's been a week. And it was very professional. He's just like, I want to find out what you thought about it. I'm sending him this long text, something my mom would send without emojis, though.
It was incredible. You're the best.
And I meant it. I mean, it was, I still feel looser because of it. I want to get back in there. I want to get that endorphin feeling going again.
Oh, you're in such a good mood after that.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
You were in a good mood for like
it's
a
like
day
you,
or so.
You run for a day or so, thank you. Then you run a little bit, you know?
No, but he did, really. Like he seemed like he didn't have a problem with me for about a day, and then it just kind of faded.
Oh, boy, I'm sensing some tension now, guys. Everything okay?
Because I said he talks a lot.
All right.
No.
But that's a behavioral issue.
Oh, no, I know. I talk a lot.
All right. So, guys, earlier today on the Midday Show, we reviewed the movie Blue Chips. It included a conversation with Ron Shelton, which I have to admit I was nervous for this conversation. I don't tend to get nervous with guests, but knowing that he's responsible for some of my favorite sports movies of all time, it was a pretty big deal to get to speak with Ron Shelton, and it was a great 20-minute interview. I highly encourage you to go check that out. It was hour three of the podcast for the Shelton interview. The review itself, though, happened at 11:40, and guys, I expected to watch a movie that while I would appreciate the overall sentiment of the film, it's Nick Nolte playing a college coach, having to come to terms with the idea of cheating to land the types of prospects that he needed to remain competitive in the college basketball landscape, I didn't believe that the movie would stand the test of time. I was completely wrong about that. I know a lot of people have referenced the movie Blue Chips with what is going on in college basketball right now. I highly recommend you go back and watch this movie. There's a couple of hokey parts here and there. Shaq being in it is pretty cool. Penny Hardaway, of course, the white dude who played at Indiana back in the early 90s. All those guys do a good job. Nick Nolte.
Is Damon Bailey in that?
Damon Bailey is not, but this is going to get to one of the questions that I asked on the review earlier that I'm also going to ask you guys. But Nick Nolte does a great job. The secondary cast in terms of JT Walsh, the woman who plays his ex-wife, and then also Ed O'Neill, who plays the reporter trying to dig the dirt to try and take
Nick Nolte.
Pete Bell's, the Nick Nolte's character down. They all are good. But one of the questions I have for you guys is that the secondary basketball players that serve as the opponents in this film, one of the reasons why this is such a good movie, Ron Shelton makes sure this happens in his movies, that they have real-life ball players playing in those roles so it doesn't look like a bunch of actors doing a really bad job at those things. That cast includes Allen Houston, Matt Painter, who played at Purdue, now coaches at Purdue, Calvert Chaney, player of the year at Indiana, Bobby Hurley, who played for Indiana in the movie. Of course,
I remember that,
For Duke in the real life, Rick Fox from Carolina, Chris Mills from Arizona, and Rex Walters from Kansas. Who do you take first in a hypothetical draft amongst those seven guys for your college basketball
Give
team?
Give them to me again.
Allen Houston.
Okay.
Matt Painter,
okay.
Calvert Chaney,
okay.
Bobby Hurley,
okay.
Rick Fox,
okay.
Chris Mills,
okay.
and Rex Walters.
At what level?
College.
Allen Houston.
Okay.
That's the first thought I had, too.
I'm going Calvert Chaney.
Chaney was a badass. Actually was better, in my opinion, than Houston was at getting into the paint and doing things that good guards used to do. We don't see as much anymore with that true mid-range and everything game.
Maybe a little bit slow for that game to translate into the NBA, and Allen Houston's obviously not a bad choice. He played how long in the NBA and was very good in the process?
Yeah, he was good. He was overrated in New York because he was in New York, but he was really good.
But he was an even better player, of course, at the college level at Tennessee, too. Yeah,
I'd played for his dad.
I'd go Houston. After that, if I was looking for, knowing it's at the college level, I might go Hurley.
Yeah, Bobby Hurley could do a lot of stuff.
I might go Hurley because he was such a badass at college,
he
man.
Was. He really was. He was gonna. I think he was.
You saying that because you're wild? No, he was really good.
He was so good.
I think he was going to be a good pro too with the Kings before that. I think it was a car accident, or motorcycle accident.
I will never forget that car accident.
It was vicious.
It was. I remember I was at my mom's. We were down south, and I was coming here, and she used to drop me off at my dad's, and then I would take the bus to school. It was like driving here thinking, oh my God, is Bobby Hurley going to make it? Because that was a big deal. They thought he may be dead.
That's right. They did.
It was terrible.
Second question, guys. Although Pete Bell eventually does cheat, he also went through some non-cheating efforts. So
we're
going to start with the Price is Right Showcase Showdown. Which of these gift packages would you take amongst the three guys who received them? So one of the prizes was a new job and a house with a yard for Butch McRae's mom. That's Penny Hardaway's mom in the movie.
That's a good deal.
That's a pretty good deal.
Second option for the white guy who used to play at Indiana is a new tractor and a duffel bag with $30,000 in it.
Oh.
And then the gift that was given to Shaq that he didn't even want was a brand new Lexus, which back in 1993,
a big deal.
New Lexus was a pretty big deal. So which of those three gift bags are you guys going with?
I would find out exactly what I could, because I don't care about a Lexus or a nice car like that. I want a good car, but especially at that age, I'd get rid of that, find out what everything's worth and see what the total amount of cash I could get out of everything is, and then put that into a fund.
Okay. Chad?
Yeah, my gut would be the job in the house. My gut would be job in the house.
Only problem with that is that when you're there for 3 months and then gone, does she really keep the job?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's a good point.
And then the house mortgage becomes an issue, too.
Right. Or is it a job?
Yeah. Now, the middle one would be like my granddad's dream of all dreams. He gets a tractor and a bag of money. Like, that's fantastic.
Right. Yeah, that's it. Oh, my God. Depends on who you are.
See, I think that's the one that I would go with. I would just sell the tractor off. It looked like a nice tractor. I'm sure it was worth tens of thousands of dollars to go along with a $30,000 in non-taxable income.
You're right. I go that way.
But if you can turn around a brand new Lexus and you don't even drive it?
Yeah, but depending on the tractor, it might be more than the Lexus.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. That's my answer. I would find out what everything is, and I would turn it all into a cash and put it in a fund.
I think Trey's right. Liquefy make the tractor liquid, and that might be the way to go.
And then also, guys, the Nolte character loves just cursing his team out in a way to try and pump them up. I mean, really just insult them in every possible angle and then tell them, now get out there, win a basketball game. So I'm going to play three of the better insults that he gave his basketball team in a locker room during a game to try and get them pumped up to win the game, and you tell me which one would discourage you enough to want to go out and win a basketball game.
discourage me enough.
I'm damn sick of watching you guys play.
That's option number one. Here's number two.
Okay. You're the dumbest team I ever coached.
And?
The only joy I have right now is I only have to watch you guys play two more games.
Three would get me.
Yeah.
But I'd also laugh.
I know.
And I was one of those people that was real time very objective about my teams. Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know if I do either. That's fair. You know, it's a fair statement. No, I'm trying to motivate you. Well, you're giving me reality, so.
Yeah.
I think the one that would motivate me would be the second one. Calling my team dumb would motivate me.
I was
going to
say,
bit,
yeah. Usually anytime someone does that, like you guys are dumb, you guys can't play smart basketball, like that would piss me off.
Yeah, that'd make me mad.
See, I'm going with I'm GD sick of watching you guys play.
Damn sick of watching you guys play.
Sick of
watching? Oh, you're
watching.
Sick of watching us play? Thank you for overstating that. You're not physically ill for watching me play right now. I understand. I don't have a whole lot of skill. I just jack three-pointers. Oh. It's college basketball, though, Coach. What do you expect?
I have never seen Blue Chips. I guess I need to see it.
It was I thought at the time it felt a little too, I don't want to say cute. It felt a little too,
I don't know, artificial. But I also saw some good things in it, too. And yeah. I was like, and I knew this was going on. So I'm like, people would say, is that real? I'm like, absolutely, that's real.
Did Brad like it?
He did really
Brad
like it.
Okay.
And one more thing, also, the
he
big
hadn't
money...
seen good basketball like that from collegians ever. So
that's true. The
these guys are doing this in college? Real quickly, that's also one of the reasons Penny got to Orlando.
It was. That's
because Shaq, after doing that with him, was weighing on his agent. And that's some tough weight, was saying, hey, we got to get weighing on Orlando. We got to get Penny in here.
So Orlando initially drafted Chris Webber in that draft. Golden State had the third pick. They went with Penny. And Orlando, genius move by them. They wanted to take Penny the entire time, but they knew how badly Golden State wanted Chris Webber. So they flipped Webber for Penny. And then also, I think, a couple draft picks as well.
That's a good move.
Mm-hmm. And last thing here, guys. I know we're a couple minutes over the break now, but that's okay. The bad guy in this movie is the big money booster who's paying all of these guys. And the argument that he initially makes to Nick Nolte as to why to pay these guys, it actually makes sense. So it's pretty funny that he puts things this way.
These athletes generate millions of dollars for the university. What do they get? Nothing. What do you get? You get a multi-year contract. You get a six-figure shoe deal so your team can be a walking billboard. And that is all legal. And then you get another six figures for that lousy TV show.
Get out of my face.
Okay, here's my problem with that. Most of that is true, and you can have some things that are true and also some falsities in there. I hate when people say they get nothing. They get a lot. If you get a scholarship at a school, there's a lot in that. You get money within that when you travel. Do I think they need to be paid to? Yes, but you're not helping your argument out whenever you say something we know is all false. They do get something out of it. And if you can't look at education and a scholarship like that and understand the value, that's on you.
The education certainly matters. In terms of the cost of living, the stipend that they get every semester, that's something that I think we could and should see increasing over time, as
Agreed.
Well as a trust for each individual kid. Sometimes it's the similar sum going in for every guy on the team. Sometimes it has to do with jersey sales or things like that. You put up a trust that when those guys' eligibility runs out, they can actually have access to that money to help them out for when they finally get to the real world.
Mm-hmm. I love that idea.
All right, we're way over. Alex Dunlap, Orange Bloods, and Roster Watch coming right up from Indianapolis. This is The Horn.